following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
We might be Underdog Sports, but we came here to win. The most legit podcast, that's why we know you're tuning in. We cover the biggest news, we underdogs, but we can't lose. So trust the process, yes you, cause we got Chris and Anshu to bless you. With the best features, best stories, we diving deep like a Lambo leak. Wake up kid and stop snoring, we on point just like this beat. Bring the passion like the talk pad, in the cold, get a gold brand. Sit back and race the cat, cause we start the show like right now.
Welcome to The Underdog, episode number 69. I'm Chris Horwardell, joined by Anshu Khanna. Anshu, we are a mere 2 days away from the kickoff of this year's NFL draft, and things are exciting.
Yes, very nice episode here, and I'm pumped off. Let's get this thing going. I mean, honestly, I feel like the buzz around the draft here is it's buzzy, but I feel like we haven't gotten as much, you know, concrete information as we I would say we have as little information as we've ever had going into a draft in terms of, like, knowing where players are going.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because it all starts at the top, and it starts with John Dorsey. And by all accounts, he's just feeding misinformation out everywhere he can. I read a couple of articles suggesting that he was concerned about leaks with the previous staff. So he's basically just, from what I get, he's just telling different people in the organization different things to see what comes out in the media. And a lot of it's coming out.
Yes. So I guess he knows he can, like, whittle down who's feeding the media what. So, and one thing I heard today, I think it was Josh Norris on RotoWorld, but it made a lot of sense to me, was, you know, the man who has just been, like, the mouthpiece of the NFL, the guy that's been Mr. Rumor Mill, has been Hugh Jackson. Mm. The fact that he hasn't gone to anyone, Mike Silver or anybody else, the fact that none of these guys seem to know what's going to happen tells me, and this isn't a surprise or anything, but Hugh Jackson has no idea what Jimmy Haslam or John Dorsey want to do.
Nope.
And that tells me that, you know, this is a very much a lame duck situation unless he gets it turned around in a hurry there in Cleveland.
Yeah, that story came out yesterday that Dorsey isn't going to tell Hugh Jackson who he's going to take until Wednesday
night. That's amazing. That is incredible.
If you're Hugh Jackson, how do you have the self-respect to stay in this position? They don't trust you. It's clear they don't trust you.
Oh, no doubt about it. But somehow they're letting him stay on for another season or however long it takes before they axe him. But
it's weird.
You know, assuming that he's there, like, he's going to still have a chance to stay. I mean, he's going to have a chance to, if he wins some games with whoever Dorsey drafts, then they're going to have no choice but to keep him. So he somehow gets a prove it opportunity, despite the fact that he clearly A, hasn't earned it, and B, clearly doesn't have their trust.
No. And this is very much to me like a Sam Hinkie situation, where any success that they have in Cleveland next year is going to be based on the work that Sashi Brown did and was effectively crucified for.
It's such a damn shame, you know, that he doesn't get the opportunity to see this thing through to the very end, because this really is like his version of your Sixers this year or last year, you know, like where he's set them up. This is supposed to be like, he kept kicking this can down the road with draft picks, and now finally he gets the chance to, you know, four picks in the first, what, 35, four of the first 35, I think, and likely to be more, especially if he was drafting at number four. Like, I mean, you say what you want about that front office's player evaluation ability, but look, he would have had another shot at this thing. And this draft with its depth would have been a really interesting opportunity for him.
I agree. Let's talk about some of these rumors we're hearing. The big news today was that Baker Mayfield was very much in play for that number one pick in the draft. Now, personally, as someone who has to watch this Browns team play quite a bit, I would be okay with that. But do you think there's any reality to it?
I mean, I think it goes hand in hand with what you just said about the fact that, you know, there are leaks springing everywhere and Dorsey's trying to plug them. So, you know, it's possible that he is being considered. I mean, Adam Schefter, of all people, is saying it. So, you know, at this time of year, I kind of bypassed this quickly last week on our draft extravaganza, but these guys aren't going to waste their time. These player evaluators aren't going to waste their time with, like, Twitter draft guys. They're going to do it. If they're going to throw smoke screens out there, it's going to be to the heavy hitters. It's going to be to Peter King. It's going to be to Dan Patrick. It's going to be to Adam Schefter. And the fact that King said Allen's out, that Schefter said Mayfield is in, and that Patrick has said Darnold's out.
Yep.
I think those are all conflicting, like, except for the fact that it might be Josh Allen. So, you know, to me, that tells me that don't believe anything. I mean, it's possible that Mayfield's in play to the extent that I think they're 100% taking a quarterback at one.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't give it a lot of merit. I don't know. Where does this stand on the rumor? Like, say one is complete falsehood, smokescreen, and 10 is a reality. Where does this fill in for you?
Darnold specifically?
No, Mayfield.
Oh, that's what I meant. Mayfield specifically. Sorry. All right. So one is real. 10 is fake. Four and a half.
No, yeah, sure. Okay. So just a nothing, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
a little bit leaning towards possibly real.
Yeah. I think Darnold, I think that Mayfield hasn't been ruled out, but I do think at the end of the day, the pick is going to be Darnold.
I mean, they know who it is,
oh,
right?
Man.
Like, there's no, this has been ruled out. This hasn't been ruled out.
We got a little news here. Maybe the most talented receiver in this draft, but certainly a troubled one, Antonio Callaway from Florida, had tested positive for weed at the combine.
Oh, boy.
Basically just reinforcing all of the issues the teams have with him. You know, he got in trouble for marijuana in school in Florida, got in trouble for the credit card fraud, the credit card scam stuff.
Possible domestic violence.
This guy is doing everything possible to make sure that nobody gives him a chance.
It's not funny, but I was watching Antonio Callaway highlights last night just to try to pick some third-round gems up, you know?
Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, I know this gets thrown around a lot, but this guy could have been a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, no question in my mind. What a giant waste of talent, because now you can guarantee that he's not going to get drafted. If he does, it's maybe in the seventh round. And beyond that, he faces an uphill climb, because it's one thing if it's one thing, but it's a pattern of behavior. And that to me is the ultimate red flag.
Well, and ironically to what we were just talking about with everything going on in Cleveland, that front office, specifically John Dorsey, has been very open to taking a gamble on those troubled guys later in the draft. So that actually could be a landing place should he be selected. And, you know, if he is, it's not going to be until the seventh round.
Yeah, I mean, Sashi did this last year.
Let's get another news story here.
Wow, breaking news left and right.
The Cleveland Browns will be featured on Hard Knocks this year.
Oh, wow.
An official announcement expected on Thursday.
Wow, who busted that one out?
I'm on the Browns Reddit. It is from Kyle Kelly. He's a Cleveland sports writer.
Gotcha. Wow, that's big and overdue. Frankly, I think that this is a fun team to have that happen. Maybe they will get Mayfield.
Yeah. No. That's going to be a lot of fun. Like an absolutely a lot of fun. That is the right team to have in that position.
No doubt. I mean, they've been on our radar for 2 years now, I think, where we've said this would be probably the top team of ones that qualify. I definitely think that's the case this year.
Yes. With everything they have going on, this is, yeah, absolutely fascinating. I can't wait to see what Antonio Callaway is like in camp.
Yeah. Yeah, those things were non-coincidental in order, right?
I did just find... Oh, and when we're talking about like these Twitter NFL guys, you're talking about the Twitter draft, Nick. You've spoken positively about this guy in a couple of shows, and I just don't understand it. I think Benjamin Albright is one of the biggest idiots on Twitter, and he got into this big Twitter fight with one of the writers from The Athletic today. Because the gentleman from The Athletic was just calling him out on all of the BS stuff that he's posted in the past. Today, Albright posted, he tweeted that simply, it's Darnold. and then he deleted the tweet because, you know, he wants the appearance of, oh, I have this inside source, but I said it and I wasn't supposed to say it, so I had to delete it. And if he's if it's Darnold, and it will be Darnold more likely than not, he can go back and say, oh, I had it before the draft. And that's what Benjamin Albright is. He's just throws crap at the wall, and every once in a while stuff sticks, and he'll point to it for the rest of his life. I think he's one of the worst NFL guys on Twitter.
Wow. Tell us how you really feel. I was holding
back a little.
I am merely reporting what I read on, or saying what I read on Twitter. So I can't confirm nor deny, but I have not heard always glowing things about him either. If it's there, it's there. You're right. That right there is pretty shady, though, because now he can claim it either way.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I got information. It wasn't Darnold. Oh, yeah. No, it was Darnold. They told me I couldn't put it. It's stupid. Just stupid. So let's talk about some of the other rumors at the top of the draft. The number two, we're hearing that, you know, if it isn't Darnold, then this actually is interesting, because if Cleveland takes Mayfield at one, that guarantees that they're going to get the top non-quarterback at number four. So there may be some added benefit to that selection. But let's say that it is Darnold. By all accounts, New York is really, really high on Saquon Barkley, as well as Bradley Chubb. Where do you think they end up going?
The Giants or Jets?
The Giants.
So assuming Darnold goes one, you said, then I'm leaning now. We had a long conversation about the gold jacket comment that Gettleman made last week.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I think that there's a lot of smoke around Barkley, and there's really no reason for there not to be. Like, this is normally what you'd expect out of the one, but considering we all seem to assume that number one is going to be a quarterback, the Giants kind of have the de facto choice of their non-quarterback.
Right.
And I think it's going to be Barkley. Gettleman, I believe, was on board when they took McCaffrey. I mean, I think that's the move. I think they go Barkley here at two.
I agree with you, and I'm not happy about that. That's one of the reasons I hope there is some reality to this Mayfield thing, because that bumps Barkley or Chubb down to four. So at three, the Jets move up. We know they're moving up to get a quarterback, by all accounts. You know, and again, we have to preface everything we say at this point with, anything that is said at this point in the year should be taken with more than a grain of salt. But all the reports suggest that it's Mayfield or Rosen for the Jets. Where do you think they go?
Oh, man, it's so tough. Like, I feel like there's almost too much smoke around Mayfield now to where I want to go the other way and say it's Rosen. And I'm going to say it's going to be Rosen. I think it's just way too crazy what's been going on with Mayfield in this. So I'm going to guess that right as of this exact moment, it's Josh Rosen, but I think it's a literal coin flip between those two.
And that takes us to Cleveland at four. Is this pretty much a foregone conclusion if it plays out this way that it's Bradley Chubb there?
Yep, I think so. I don't think a trade down is in the offing, although if Mayfield is there, I could see Buffalo moving. I mean, regardless, whoever it is that's there, I could see them moving up. But, this is really the last spot where there's an absolute need for someone to trade up, because assuming the Broncos are at least interested in a quarterback, then four is the place to go. Because really, we said this, but 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, nobody needs a quarterback. And really, four doesn't either. So it's just getting ahead of the Broncos that teams need to worry about. And the Broncos have talked about trading down too, which gives me the idea that, you know, maybe they, I mean, again, it's smokescreen season, but maybe they're not in love with any of these guys either. So I don't know. What are your thoughts? You said last week, you thought for a while that it's going to go QB, QB, QB.
Mm-hmm.
Now you think it's Barkley at two, right? So where does that leave us here?
Well, yeah, honestly, I know what you're saying. There's too much smoke around Mayfield, but I think it's kind of the same situation as with the Giants, and teams just kind of at the top know how things are going to play out at this point. And I don't think the Jets are holding back at all about how much they love Mayfield, because there's very little risk to do that. I think Mayfield is a Broadway Joe type personality for the Jets. I think he can be that face of the franchise, and I think it's Mayfield at three. At, you know, four, yeah, foregone conclusion. I thought they would trade back. I really did. I thought it was pretty much a certainty that they would trade back. Daniel Jeremiah, I believe it was Daniel Jeremiah, who I respect the heck out of, said that the Browns will rush to the podium and take either Barkley or Chubb if they're there at four. So,
which they will be. One will be there, if not both.
Right. And in this scenario, it's Chubb. And this actually leads to a really interesting position where we're talking about an 0-16 team from last season in Cleveland who has two top four picks in the draft, and there's a legitimate chance that neither one of them are opening day starters next year.
That's right. I mean, it's absolutely possible. That's not necessarily a bad thing, obviously, but, you know, it's surprising, and it speaks to, again, the volume of talent that Sashi gathered over the years, both in free agency trades and, of course, in the draft.
Just weird. And like the optics of that are really weird too, because you think, oh, we have to bring in instant impact players. And that's what, I mean, you know, obviously Chubb would make an impact on that defense without a question. But when you think about two top four picks, you think, okay, these are franchise building blocks. They're immediately going to be expected to perform at a high level for this team. And it's kind of, I mean, a redshirt year for one of them. Just weird times in Cleveland. This is not the 2017 Cleveland Browns anymore.
Yeah, yes, that's true, and they should win six times infinity more games. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what they look like at the end of this draft, and really after the end of these four picks. But if they come away from this thing, as we're saying with Darnold and Chubb, that's pretty nice. Can't complain about that at all if you're a Cleveland fan.
I hope it's Mayfield and Barkley. That's what I'm rooting
for.
That
would be way more fun, that's for sure, but. I don't see that happening.
I don't either, but that's what I'm rooting for. So we have, in this little, I guess, mock draft we're doing here, we have Darnold, Barkley, well, let's go with yours and say Rosen, and then Chubb. That brings us to Denver. And this is interesting because they've been tied to Mayfield quite a bit. They, you know, they made a point to coach him to the Senior Bowl, but it seems like they kind of took a step back on their interest for Mayfield. Do they take Mayfield here, or do they go with the big arm Josh Allen?
Man, I think I'm of the opinion, as you know, that if you have a quarterback in your mind that you want, you move up for him.
Yeah.
And I think failing the possibility that Darnold is there, I do not think that they're going to go quarterback here. I also think they're going to – I don't think they're going to go quarterback here. But I think that part of that is because the way this fell, there are only two down and there are two left. And I think they look at picks 6 through 10 – and know that they could potentially move down if they want and still get one of these guys. So I'm gonna call for a trade here. I think that this is where the Bills move up to, and I think the Bills are moving up for Josh Allen.
Okay, so we've got Darnold, Barkley. I'm gonna keep track of this here because it's gonna get tough in a second. Rosen,
yeah.
Chubb, and we're saying Josh Allen from the Bills. And apologies to the listeners for the typing in the background. That gets us to number six. The Colts seem like a team that could jump back down again. Could somebody jump up and come get Baker Mayfield here?
Yes, they definitely could. But again, who are you jumping ahead of? I mean, you're trying to beat out other teams. I get that. That's kind of the Bears philosophy from last year with the Niners. I just don't really – I mean, the Colts have so many needs, and they would make sense for them to move down. But who are we talking about here? We're talking about either Denver's now at 12, right? Miami's at 11. And then, I mean, other than that, you're moving way down.
Well, how about those Arizona Cardinals? The Arizona Cardinals have been tied to quarterbacks. This is a team that could jump up. And, you know, you're right. There's not teams with immediate needs of quarterback in front of them. But there are other teams that need quarterbacks. And when the top three are off the board, you might have to make a move and go get your guy, or you risk losing everybody.
Totally. And, I mean, look, Chris, here's my concern with that, though. I agree. But Chris Ballard has said there's like 8 non-quarterbacks that are blue-chip players in this draft. Mm-hmm. If you move down to 15, you risk losing that, unless you then flip back up, take one of those picks, and move up to get the last one left. But that's a big risk because – you know, who's to say that team wants to move down? Maybe they like the guy that's left, right? So I know that they've been talked about a lot as a trade down candidate. I'm going to say that they are not going to in this scenario, though. And I think, you know, I think Denzel Ward makes a ton of sense for them at 6.
Okay. We'll go Denzel Ward at 6 to the Colts. So 7 is one of the picks where this is one of the worst kept secrets in the NFL right now. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in love with Derwin James. If Derwin James is there, by all accounts, he will be the pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we will we'll go to the Colts at 8.
Throw that. Yep.
The Bills at 8. Sorry. Take 3. The Bears at 8.
Bears.
Is this so? Yeah. We have guys like Quentin Nelson still on the board. Is this a landing place for Quentin Nelson?
I will say this is the biggest lock of the draft if he's there, that Quentin Nelson becomes a Bear if he's there at 9, at 8.
Okay, and so not...
They just drafted their offensive line coach or signed him to join Nagy's staff and Matt Nagy's staff, and, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense.
So you pair Nelson with Cody Whitehair and just build out that interior offensive line.
Yeah, Kyle Long. They're loaded. I mean, they just cut Sitton, and, I mean, I think that they have a big hole there, I think it makes a ton of sense, and they could potentially come away with the best player in the draft at number 8, which is crazy to me.
Okay, so we've got 9, 10, two teams that are both linked to the same guy. Both of them apparently love Roquan Smith. Is he the pick for the 49ers at 9?
I think so. I think there's no way. I honestly kind of would be surprised if Roquan's here at 9, but the way that this fell makes sense. I think Roquan goes right here, and that's going to piss the Raiders faithful off because he is such a John Gruden type, and I'm sure he really wants him.
All right, so that gets us to the Raiders at 10. What do they do? Because this is an interesting situation. Do they immediately go second linebacker, or could this be a Tremaine Edmonds spot?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I lean towards them going Mike McGlinchey. I've just heard a lot about that. Like,
okay.
Makes a lot of sense to me that top 10, like Gilbrandt said that he's going to be a top 10 player. I doubt that Gruden would have lied to Gilbrandt. And so I just think that that's their guy. I think that, you know, Donald Penn's, 35, 36? He's going to be done here in a year or two. In the meantime, you can play McGlinchey on the right side. I'm of the mind that this is going to be Mike McGlinchey. I think this is just one of those situations where the team is locked in on the player, unless a guy like Roquan Smith is still there.
All right, so 11, Miami stays put, and Baker Mayfield's still there.
Yep, and I think this is the spot for him. I think Baker Mayfield goes 11. He takes a little bit of a dive down the board, and because nobody needed to move up, it becomes Miami's at 11. I wouldn't rule out this being the trade for the Cardinals from 15 to 11. And in fact, it could be 15 to 10. Can we actually do that? Can we undo that? I think that makes sense. Let's do 10. Let's go. Arizona moves up from 15 to 10 to take Baker. I think that they're a team that after seeing Mahomes, them just miss Mahomes by a pick last year, they're not going to sit around and hope that a guy falls. I think they will take the last of the four remaining quarterbacks as long as he's there, you know, in the 8-9 range, and they don't have to mortgage their entire draft for him. This makes a lot of sense. I have read that they love him. I mean, Peter King said they absolutely are obsessed with him. So I think it makes a lot of sense. He gets to learn behind Bradford for the 2 games if Bradford's healthy next year, and then, you know, he'll be thrown into the fire. So I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think the Raiders can still get McGlinchey at 15 in this scenario.
Okay, Miami's on the board now. No Baker Mayfield. You have guys. You have Tremaine Edmonds. You have Micah Fitzpatrick.
Vita Vea is on the board.
And if it's Vita Vea, this is bad news for the Redskins because the Redskins covet this guy, and he will not fall past 13.
That's right. I'm sure of that as well, or I feel very confident about that as well. But I do think that this is going to be Vea because this is a team that lost Sue. I think that part of the calculus in cutting Sue is who you can get on the very cheap. You cannot find another player like this in the second round unless the crazy Hurst stuff is true that he might be there. But I'm going to say Sue. I'm going to say Vea. I just think it makes a lot of sense. Give them the hole on the roster, and they can immediately fill it here with Vea.
I think it was McShay, but McShay said that he thought Hurst could last until day 3.
And boy, if that happens...
I think that's crazy.
It's insane, but as we said last week, I mean, some of this has to be... It has to be physical related, even though he didn't get called back for combine recheck. So, you know, some of this could obviously be smokescreen, but... I just, And, you know, that would be wild to me. That would be such an incredible steal to get Maurice Hurst anywhere beyond the top, you know, 25 or 20.
Well, who did I see today that Sonny Michel apparently has a mysterious medical condition that could cause him to fall if you listen to Michael Lombardi from The Ringer.
Yep, I heard that too. Again, danger in listening to this stuff on the last few days. Although it did happen with Miles Jack, right?
Yeah.
Or is that Miles Jack? Yeah. And we've seen it occasionally where a guy will slip into this early second round. You know, Jalen Smith was obviously earlier and then he moved up, same draft. But I don't know, man. That reeks to me when you haven't heard anything. But we heard this with Leighton Vander Esch last week, too, about like a mysterious.
That's been around for a while. That's been around. There's been injury concerns about Vander Esch for a while. That's not super new.
Yeah, but it was. He didn't get called back on combine recheck
either.
That's true. So it seemed like that was gone. And there was so much smoke about him moving up. And I think that some of that gets planted. This is a perfect example of like that late week smoke screening. I think there's a lot more to the idea that teams are obsessed with Vander Esch and they don't want, you know, you push him down with medicals, you get teams scrambling on their physical stuff and nervous. And then next thing you know, Vander Esch is there at 19 of the Cowboys or whoever it is that wants him.
Yeah. Apparently the Cowboys view Vander Esch as a Brian Urlacher clone.
Yeah,
I
don't
praise.
Quite see that.
Yeah,
but I do like him. I think that he's going to be a good player. I just, you know, that's a little out there.
Also, we just had the 49ers take Roquan Smith. If you listen to Tony Pauline, he says that the 49ers are 100% in love with and covet Tremaine Edmonds.
That I heard too. I just think if Roquan Smith is there, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, he's such a 49er linebacker too.
He is, and, you know, I think it's going to be one of those two guys, 100%, assuming they stick there. And, I mean, that worked out real well in this scenario.
Yeah, unfortunately for 49ers fans, they drafted maybe the best defensive player in last year's class, and who knows if he's ever going to be a 49er again.
That's right. If that's true, man, that's crazy. It's very possible though. And then to have to use two first rounders in a row or two first rounders and three picks, I guess, since they had that earlier
right.
one, but two of them in the same position that's not a high value position is tough to swallow.
Hey, if it all works out, that's a heck of a linebacker core though.
Oh my God. That's scary. That brings you back to the Harbaugh days already a couple of years ago with Bowman and Willis and, you know, obviously, that's just they were just loaded. Ahmad Brooks.
Yeah. All right, so we're at 12. Denver is here now. Do we think – I feel this has got to make a Fitzpatrick feel to me.
It does to me too. I was going to say the same thing because you assume Roby kicks outside likely.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, I think that it makes a lot of sense for them to go with the – you know, with the secondary man here, and Fitzpatrick can bring them along into the next era. I really like that fit, actually. And it's either him or I wouldn't be shocked if they go McGlinchey. Like, they could use one last offensive lineman, mm-hmm. but if they had designs on that, they probably should have just taken Nelson then at five. So I agree. I follow the logic. I think that Minka, when you think of where they were at five, they could have easily used that pick on Fitzpatrick, and now at 12, they get a chance to do it instead, and they pick up, probably a couple second-rounders or maybe a late first in the process.
Well, yeah, you end up getting Fitzpatrick at 12 instead of 5, plus you get that number 22 pick as well.
Yep, and you can, you know, maybe use that on Isaiah Wynn or something. We can get there in a sec, but that works out. Yeah, out real well.
All right, so the Redskins up at 13. Vea off the board. Where do the Redskins go?
This is a tough one. I mean, I think you got to look at generally what the Skins have done is just take the biggest name.
Yeah, Jonathan Allen last year.
Jonathan Allen was the one last year. And I'm gonna go with a little bit of a different slant here. And I think that with Vita Vea off the board, I'm going Darius Geis here. I think that they could potentially take a running back. If you think of like a true two or three down running back, I mean, I know they have Chris Thompson, but you know, they could use a guy that could, you know, hammer the ball early and, you know, Geis is as three down as it comes, or at least as two down as it comes. So I'm going to go with him here at 13. I know that's going to be an eyebrow raiser, but I think that this is an organization that doesn't really buy into like the newfangled metrics mm-hmm. and like the thought process, you know, that other teams maybe use. I think that they would be more than happy to take a gutty running back like Guice. So I'm going to say a little bit of a reach, but I'll have him at 13 here.
So what you're telling me is now, oh man, Darius Guice, Saquon Barkley, and Ezekiel Elliott are the other running backs in my division.
That's correct. It's not going to be a super fun ride for you, but
awesome.
Do you disagree with the fit? I know that that's early for the Skins, but I kind of like it. I think that they absolutely are taking a running back in the first two rounds this year.
Yeah, the thing about that is we've been hearing all these reports, and again, this time of the year, you can't believe anything. But Guice is actually a guy who's apparently falling a little bit. This would be surprising to me. You know, I could see this being Edmonds. I could see them reaching a little bit for a guy like Daron Payne.
Mm.
Maybe even go for the edge rusher in Davenport. But, I don't know.
Ooh, not, I see that too. I mean,
not a clear-cut pick here for the Redskins.
That's the thing. It's a typical Skins move is to, like, just take the best name on the board. I mean, that's why I think Vay is an absolute cinch if he's there. Like, he's just that name.
Yeah.
I could see Edmonds if he's there. You're right about that. I would probably maybe lean that way, actually. But I just think that I really think that Guice is their style. I really think that that makes a lot of sense to me. And I think that they're the exact kind of franchise that would reach on a running back, a throwback running back like Guice.
All right. I will let it be Guice on one condition. You have a vested interest for the next selection. So it is Guice.
You make the pick.
No, it is. I'm fine. You can make your pick. I trust you. But it can be Guice at 13 as long as it's not Edmonds at 14.
All right, fair enough. I was going to have Edmonds, but I will say Harold Landry with that rule in place. Although I think that the Packers prefer their edge defenders to be more like late, like Marcus Davenport. I think that he sort of fits what they look like generally. Mm. But, you know, they need pass rush help, man. They need a guy to get to the quarterback. They've used one top five-round pick on an edge rusher in the last – since Nick Perry, which was, you know, what, 6 years ago now. Yeah. So I think that they – you know, Clay is getting up there. He's going to be playing a lot more inside. I think that they need an edge rusher. This draft is not deep at edge rusher. I expect it, with the way this fell, to be either Landry or Davenport. And I'll just say Landry's clearly the better pass rusher. And, I mean, I think that he's the guy. But Davenport would certainly be in the mix at this point.
All right, the Oakland Raiders now at 15 because of the trade with the Cardinals. Where do we think the Raiders are going? Is this McGlinchey?
I'm going McGlinchey. I know that Tremaine Edmonds is not supposed to be here, but I'm going to, in this scenario, which, by the way, I do not think Edmonds has fallen this far, but I have the Raiders locked in on McGlinchey.
All right, number 16 is the Ravens. Are we just?
Of course.
Yeah, are we just going to take Edmonds off the board here?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Ravens and the Skins. They always get these guys to fall to them. I want to say that the Skins actually got Allen at 16 last year. So let's run it back with the Ravens here and getting Edmonds at 16. Crazy, crazy good value there, obviously.
And very much a Baltimore Raven type player.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. Talk about the long line of middle linebackers there. Jeez.
All right, Chargers on the board, number 17. What are we thinking? Do they look to maybe get some weapons for Phil Rivers? Do we go in another? Do we maybe look for an offensive tackle? Do we look for a defensive tackle? Where do the Chargers go?
Yeah, I would have said certainly if Villa's here, I would go there, but yeah, I don't expect him to be. You know, and they don't really need the end because I'm thinking about value and I'm thinking about Davenport, but. You know, so I think that Daron Payne is a name I would be thinking about at 17. They definitely need an interior threat, especially with Corey Legia being out the first couple of games, right? I believe he's suspended.
Yep.
So that's probably the way I lean here, or Lamar Jackson. What do you think?
Oh, there's a lot of Lamar Jackson hype as we get closer to the draft, and I think you're right that he could end up going higher than people think. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if this – and I'm remiss to say this, aren't you? Because this is a this has been your bandwagon all year, but I wonder if this is a crazy little reach for Mason Rudolph here.
Wow, interesting. Very similar, you know, there are definitely some,
exactly,
you know, some similarities to Rivers. So yeah, I could see that. Wow, that would be interesting for sure. I mean, yeah, wow.
I agree.
I kind of love that, actually.
I agree. It's wow, and I'm good with going pain, but I don't think that's the craziest thing that we could actually see Rudolph come off the board before Jackson and way higher than we thought.
Wow, that would be something. I need to wrap my head around that. That's a really interesting one. Let's put a pin in that. For now, let's go Payne, though. I think Payne or maybe even Van Der Esch, they could use some line inside linebacker help, too. But I'm going to say Payne, I think.
All right.
That's one I need to chew on.
Seattle at 18. We know for a fact if Van Der Esch doesn't go here, he goes to the Cowboys. Do they feel pressure, or do they, you know, they look to a Colton Miller or somebody like that?
Yeah, I think they have to go offensive line, like, and especially in a draft that's not super deep and a team that is obsessed with spark scores. I'm going to go, I think Colton Miller is probably the pick, but again, Davenport's still out there. And, you know, and I think Josh Jackson makes a lot of sense too. When you think of Richard Sherman, and I do think there are players later on that maybe fit the Richard Sherman bill a little bit better. But, you know, the Quentin Meeks is from his alma mater, and there are a few others. Brandon Oliver is another. But, you know, I don't know. I think that Colton Miller makes a ton of sense for them right here.
All right, so we are at 19 is going to be Van Der Esch if he's there. You're not going to call somebody Urlacher and then not take him. So that leaves us Detroit at 20. We don't really have a ton of people falling. You know, I would say the people who have maybe fallen a little bit are Calvin Ridley and Josh Jackson.
Marcus Davenport's still there, right?
Good point.
And I think this is his pick because Detroit hired UTSA's defensive line coach, I believe. So, I think that one, much like the Bears with Nelson and McGlinchey with Harry Heisen, like, I think that they'll do the same. The Lions will do the same here with Davenport, who shouldn't be here at 20 based on his ability, but makes just perfect sense to me to go here at 20.
All right, the Bengals at 21. You know, we've talked about this guy as maybe some going a little bit higher than people expect him to, but could this be a spot for Isaiah Wynn?
I mean, I think that would be a great pick for them, especially considering they could use like a swing guard slash tackle. They just need stuff.
Yeah.
They need offensive line help. They have their left tackle in Cordy Glenn now, but they don't really, it's just kind of an odd situation with their right tackle, right guard, center. Their guy is, who's it? I think it's Frank Lapham or something. There's a guy on the Bengals beat who has nailed their pick like 8 of the last 11 years or something.
Yeah.
And he came out today and said it was going to be Frank Ragnow.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think that's sort of where I would lean just because I trust that guy. But I love the fit of Wynn to the Bengals too. I'm going to defer to someone who has nailed it more times than not here and say Frank Ragnow.
Works for me. 22 is now the Denver Broncos. And they have already taken, they took Micah Fitzpatrick at 12.
God, just absurd. And I'm going to give him Isaiah Wynn here too. I think this, when you come away from that trade with Minka and Wynn, that is a win.
I'm going to throw another name out there for you. What about Lamar Jackson here?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't be here at this point. No doubt about that.
They may be interested in taking a quarterback at 5. Now they get them. Now they can get one at 22 with their second first-round pick.
Do you think that they do this trade? I think if they were going to take Jackson, they would move up to get him.
I agree with you that if they planned to take Jackson, they would move up to get him. But if he just happens to be sitting there, added bonus.
Do you think so? I feel like they make this trade in this hypothetical scenario with an eye towards getting a defensive back and an offensive lineman.
Okay.
But if they happen to get a quarterback, they can always take a guard, 15 picks later when they pick again.
Right.
Right. They could get the best of Wynn, Daniels, whoever. I mean, Daniels, like Billy Price, whoever they want to put in at guard. Yeah. So I'm actually going to go with you. Let's consider this like an Aaron Rodgers situation where they just happen to have the guy they want fall to their laps. Let's give him Lamar Jackson because I really don't see him falling any further than this.
I agree with you. Agree with you completely.
I would actually say more likely is they take Rudolph here. Like if they wanted a quarterback, they could trade down, and
okay. There's
little chance that Rudolph goes higher than that.
I'm fine with Rudolph here. Well, if Rudolph is here, then do we think Lamar Jackson goes to the Patriots with the next pick?
New Orleans. Ooh, wow. Yeah. I think you have to say that. I think you have to go Jackson there. I do think that this is another situation where there's almost too much smoke about the Patriots and Jackson, like even down to Tom Brady tweeting, you know, his like, oh, this is a great kid, whatever. Like, do you really think that they would say that?
I don't think Tom Brady cares about what the team wants at this point. I think Tom Brady's going to say what Tom Brady wants. He's moved past the point where he's a mouthpiece for anybody.
That's true. I mean, I don't disagree with that at all. So, boy, I mean, Jackson's going in this little range here. And my intuition is that it might take trading up to 20 or something to get whoever it is.
Yeah.
To get Jackson or whoever wants him. I could see the Saints being that team, especially as a team that right now has very few holes. Mm. Like they've really rebuilt that whole thing. And so, you know, that makes me feel like maybe, I don't know, they would move up, but let's just give Jackson to the Patriots here.
I want to settle on Jackson, but you know who would be very difficult for the Patriots to pass up on? Another guy who shouldn't be on the board is Calvin Ridley.
I totally agree. I just have this weird feeling that Ridley is going to slip like to this. I don't think this is outlandish for him in this scenario.
All right. Let's 24 is Carolina. What are we thinking? I mean, this is a team. Are they looking in the defensive backfield? Are they looking in the offensive line? Where are we going here?
Or a receiver.
I mean, that makes sense. Calvin Ridley makes sense here as well.
Or DJ Moore. I mean, a lot of people have said that DJ Moore is going to go higher. I don't know. I kind of lean, like, let's reset the board here. We've got, Ridley's out there. We've got
Taven, Moore, Taven Bryan, Isaiah Wynn.
Taven Bryan.
Rashawn Evans. Nobody else really falling all that badly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to give them DJ Moore. I think he strikes me more as their type.
Okay.
Than Ridley.
Which probably is a compliment to Ridley, to be quite frank.
It is. It definitely is. 100%.
All right. Tennessee at 25. What are we thinking? I mean, they've been tied to a lot of linebackers. Is this could this be a Rashawn Evans?
I think this is Evans. Yep, 100%. I think this is a great spot for Rashawn Evans.
All right, Rashawn Evans off the board at 25. 26 is the Falcons. Let's talk about the Falcons for a second. Some Julio Jones stuff happening today.
Oh,
Julio Jones makes his account private on Twitter and removes any mention of the Atlanta Falcons. Is there something going on?
I mean, well, clearly, they came
clearly
right out
there something
said
going
there wasn't.
On, but I'm not saying
they said that it was like a clean slate and it had something to do with he spoke to Alabama yesterday or something and said something about how like you shouldn't, you know, it was some kind of part of a tied message or something like that where, you know, I personally think there's got to be something
right.
Much like with the Bears with Jordan Howard. I mean, I think that this is definitely a thing. It's definitely not a thing. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe this is now a spot where you have to think about getting a receiver, right? I mean, if you have any question, and look, the other part of this was not only did Julio take all that stuff down, but he didn't show up to either of the non-mandatory training camps that have happened the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like the proof's in the pudding there a little bit.
In a world where Julio Jones is on the trade block, what kind of value does he have?
My God. Well, he's got 2 years left. He wants a new deal. You got to think that, I mean, his numbers have been slightly down, haven't they, over the last few years? But
still very good.
For last year, I guess. Very, of course, really good. He's awesome. I mean, he definitely commands a first probably a first and a second, I would say, or that's where you start, first and a third. And I mean, it depends on where the first is, obviously, but if it's in the top half of the first round, then a first and a future third is probably what I would start with.
Yeah, that down year for him last year, too, was still 88 catches for 1,400 yards.
Yeah, he's incredible, obviously. My concern with Julio is all health-related. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's no other question, because he's always banged up. I mean, his foot is kind of an issue, but he's, you know, I wouldn't hesitate to trade for him for sure.
Yeah, always banged up, but again, has only missed 3 games in the last 4 years.
Yep, that's incredible. And he's just one of those handful of guys. We talked last week about receivers in this group, and there's just not any, like, big, really just alpha receivers. I mean, there are only maybe 4 or 5 in the league right now, and there are clearly none in this draft. And I just, you know, Julio's definitely one of them. And to trade him away when you're an offense that already was kind of not at top form last year would be, I think it'd be pretty dumb.
Yeah, I'd be willing to trade that 32 pick for Julio Jones if it came to it.
You would you?
Yeah, I'd make that move. I would make
that would work out. Yeah. That would work out, I think.
I'm okay with that. I might even, like, twist my arm. I'll even throw in, like, I don't know. This is hard because I don't want to give up too much because obviously I'm giving up a first-round pick here. So, I don't know. Something like a Bo Allen-level player. I know he's gone. How about Isaac Seumalo? I'll toss in Isaac Seumalo.
Oh, man. How could the Falcons say no?
All right, so we'll agree that Julio Jones traded to the Eagles for a 32 pick. Where are we at? 20.
We're at the Falcons.
Okay,
I think Taven Bryan.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Taven Bryan is their guy.
Okay. Taven Bryan will get a little pass rushing force on the inside. Saints at 27. Mm-hmm. I mean, do they take Ridley? And does he catch 140 passes next year?
Oh my God, that would be just absurd. I mean, who'd they sign? It was the Bears,
Cameron Meredith.
So I don't see them going to the receiver.
I mean, it's
here.
Cameron Meredith. Cameron Meredith is
a fine player.
Yeah, fine player 2
they're
years
not gonna,
ago.
I don't think they're going.
I don't think they expected Ridley
receiver.
To be here, though.
Very true. I mean, I kind of think that they're going to trade up for Jackson. I think that's what I'll end up guessing at the end, but I don't know. If this is the way it breaks out, you know, you look at your best player on your board, I guess it is Ridley. It's either Ridley or Wynn, right? Did we already hand Wynn
to
somebody?
No, Wynn is still on the board.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that makes more sense for them, or else just add another big D body, but I don't see any glaring names out there right now that shouldn't be, other than we're agreeing that Maurice Hurst is just not going to go, right? We're just like the smoke is out there that he's not going to go in the first round.
I know you said
it only takes one.
Yeah.
Won't but should.
All right. So we'll say Isaiah Wynn to the Saints at 27.
Wait, Josh Jackson's out there too,
Josh
right?
Jackson is out there.
I feel like he's going to go somewhere here too. So are we saying Wynn? Let's say Wynn there.
Okay.
But I think Jackson's going soon.
Well, that brings us to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 28.
All right, there you go. All right, I think they want a linebacker, ideally. Wynn being gone to the Titans is unfortunate because he's just perfect for them
Evans.
In the post-Shazier world.
Where do you go if you want a linebacker at this point? I mean, you're talking about players like Lorenzo Carter. Is there even Arden Key? Who else is even worth talking about?
I think Carter's probably the best name there that you mentioned. I'm trying to think. I mean, this is a rough spot. This might be a trade down, honestly, for this team specifically. Or maybe they go running back. Maybe they say, like, let's get our Le'Veon Bell, you know, supplement.
So,
I know they drafted James Conner last year, but maybe Sony Michel here.
So you think Sony Michel, even with the health issues?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much stock to put in that, but yeah, there's smoke there too, so can't ignore it. Or Josh Jackson.
I mean, do we just take Josh Jackson off the board here for the symmetry?
Let's do it, because he's going to be gone. Yeah, he's got to go. Let's go Josh Jackson here.
Watch them take Kyle Loletta here at 28.
Oh, man, that would be something.
All right. By the way, I think very, very highly of Kyle Loveletta. 29 Same. Is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, I mean, it's got to be Calvin Ridley, right?
It's Ridley here. We're going Ridley here, 100%. Right. I mean, there's no way he's still here. I wouldn't say there's no way, but I would be surprised. It would speak volumes about, you know, how much evaluators put stock into, you know, athleticism.
Okay, so Calvin Ridley.
And age.
And for sure. At 29, 30 is the Minnesota Vikings. What are we looking for here? Because, I mean, they could use a little bit of help in the defensive secondary. There's
James Daniels.
James Daniels is a very interesting guy. He maybe shouldn't still be on the board.
Yep. I'm just looking at the people that are available in my mind. I mean, Billy Price, James Daniels, I think one of those two. Take your pick. I think Daniels is the better one, as you said, so I wouldn't go with him here.
By the way, Billy Price got some positive medical news over the last couple of days, and it seems to have eased people's concerns about that the partially torn pec.
That's good. He's a really good player, and he's going to be able to play center or guard for you. That kind of versatility is invaluable.
All right, the New England Patriots at 31. They already took. Let's see, who'd they take at 23? Lamar Jackson at 23. Where do they go at 31?
Oh, man, I could see this being Cortland Sutton, although he's not really their type. They're more of like, they want the little Ridley type, really. I mean, Ridley would have been a good pick there for him.
Could be Christian Kirk.
Christian Kirk, I like that. I think this could be him.
Oh, or my guy Anthony Miller, by the way. Anthony Miller, love Anthony Miller.
Oh, yep, agreed. We spoke on this last week. I think we just lauded him.
Yeah, rightfully so.
I think, he's awesome. I mean, I think someone's going to get a real steal in the second round. But I think Kirk could break the first here, and he is such a Patriots player, you're right.
All right, Anshu, what did the defending champs do at 32? And this is a moot,
here we go.
It's a moot point because they're not going to have this pick.
Yep. So who are they trading down with? What are they going to be?
So who wants that? Okay, let's look at this. Let's figure out this trade down by evaluating who are the best players on the board and who is most likely to be traded up for to get that 50-year option. So
we got Billy Price.
Yeah, Billy Price. I mean, Connor Williams, Mike Hughes, Cortland Sutton, Will Hernandez,
Jair Alexander.
I think that's pretty much it. I mean,
possibly Hurst.
That's the name I was about to mention. I don't know. Maybe if somebody wants a tight end, Goddard's there or Gesicki.
Hurst.
Yeah.
I love Hurst. Hayden Hurst could be it.
Hayden Hurst.
I mean, that could very well be the Eagles pick.
Yeah, if somebody, I don't know. That feels like a luxury.
It's true with Hurts. Yeah.
You know, and let's not roll out one of the safeties. This could be a Justin Reed or a Jesse Bates pick.
Justin Reed, Jesse Bates. Oh man, Justin Reed would be. I think Justin Reed's going in the first
round.
Okay,
then this is Justin Reed. Who moves up to get Justin Reed?
All right, what about the Packers?
What are you giving up?
We're giving up our second, which is going to be the 46th overall pick.
Okay.
And
45th?
We're going to give you the number one pick in the fourth round, courtesy of your Cleveland Browns.
All right, so
I'm dropping
back 13 spots to get 13 spots here, and I'm going to get the number one in the fourth, which is what? Which is 97? Let's look at the trade value chart. If it adds up,
yeah.
I accept it on behalf of the Philadelphia Eagles. So 29 or 32 gets 32 is 590 points, 45 is 450, and 1 is... I'm sorry, Anshu Khanna, that does not add up.
Damn it. All right, fine. All right, well.
I need your fourth next year if you want to do this.
Done. Okay. Let's do it.
All right, so our first round is Sam Darnold, Saquon Barkley, Josh Rosen, Bradley Chubb, Josh Allen, Denzel Ward, Derwin James, Quentin Nelson, Roquan Smith, Baker Mayfield to the Cardinals, Vita Vea, Micah Fitzpatrick to the Broncos in a trade. Darius Geis goes 13. Harold Landry, Mike McGlinchey goes to the Raiders in a trade. Tremaine Edmonds, Deron Payne, Colton Miller, Leighton Van Der Esch, Marcus Davenport, Frank Ragnall, Mason Rudolph goes to the Broncos in a trade. Lamar Jackson, DJ Moore, Rashawn Evans, Taven Bryan, Isaiah Wynn, Josh Jackson, Calvin Ridley, James Daniels, Christian Kirk to the Patriots, and Justin Reed to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for the number 45 pick, number 97 pick, and fourth round pick in 2019.
Seems right. Seems 100% right. Wow.
I'd be shocked if we didn't know this.
In all honesty, how many of those do you think we got right? One?
One. We definitely got one right.
Let's set the over under at 3.5. That's what I'm going to hope for. We should circle back on this after, but I'm going to go over under 3.5. What do you say?
Okay. So I think Darnold's right. I think Barkley's right. I think Chubb's right. So that's 3. I think Derwin James is right. That's 4. I think Quentin Nelson is probably right. That's 5. And then we just have to get one more pick right to get 6. I'm gonna set the line at 5.5, and I'm gonna take, you know what, I'm gonna take the over.
Oh man! All right, if we get over 5.5, I will be very happy with that performance. So that should have been the caveat before we went to all this, but we have to have our listeners actually listen to the whole show, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right. It's got to be a reason to stick around until the end.
I'm gonna set it at 4.5, just because we like. You know, I don't know that all those that we just said that you just assumed were right are actually going to be right, but yeah, I don't know. It's gonna
now,
be. It's
to clarify this: are we talking about position or position and team? Because we did pick some trades.
I think the team match is more important than the player match.
Okay, so.
Or like the slot match, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So in the position, right? So Josh Allen goes 5. Where it's right even if it's not the Bills.
Correct. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think we should grant ourselves either way. If it's either the slot or the team, then it's right.
You've long been known as the master of hedging. So this
I am the ultimate edger. It's true.
Yet another instance of that. So we went through the first 32. Who are the names that you're just really interested in past this? Who would you love to see the Packers pick up?
You said Anthony Miller. I love Anthony Miller. I have a big time crush on Jaire Alexander. I just don't think he doesn't fit the Packers. Like they're allegedly 5'10.5". Everyone under that is off their board essentially. Mm-hmm. So he's like just under it. I don't think he ends up being there. I love him. Justin Reed snuck in there. I think that Justin Reed is going to be a stud. You know, who else do we got here? Let's see.
Well, can I tell you who I'm fascinated by?
Yeah, please.
And we're gonna go. Yeah. We're gonna go deep. We're gonna go out of left field. This is almost. This is almost like Maurice or Moritz. What was the German receiver's last name?
Boehringer.
Boehringer. Moritz Boehringer.
Yeah, Justin Watson. Is that where you're going?
I'm not going Justin Watson. I'm going deeper than that. I'm going Jordan Mailata. I'm talking about the Australian rugby player. This dude is 6'8", 345 pounds. Like, I know it's crazy that we talk about guys like this. I mean, and I'm not by any means suggesting that he's going to be selected early. I do think he's going to be selected. I'm going to encourage everybody, watch the video of this guy. Legitimate 6'8", legitimate 345 pounds. Does not look like there's an ounce of fat on that frame. And watch him playing rugby and outrunning people and the athleticism that he's showing, certainly going to be a developmental guy. The Eagles actually used one of their top 30 visits on Mailata. So, you know, people are serious about this guy. He's not going to be ready to play next year, probably not the year after, but down the road, you might have something really interesting here.
Watch the Patriots take him and he realizes all of his ability.
Like his
that would totally happen.
His athleticism is crazy, and he's very much like we talk about Tremaine Edmonds being kind of like ball of clay. I think this guy is even more so. Like, I don't see why this guy. I can't. I don't. Like, sure, we're looking at him as a left tackle because of his agility. I don't see why he couldn't potentially be a defensive tackle. Like, you're just gonna figure. You're gonna bring this guy into your team and figure out what he does best, and put him in a position to succeed. Like, unbelievable. Yeah, like, kind of like Christian Okoye athleticism. I don't really want to compare
That's
him.
Your guy.
Yeah. I don't really want to suggest that he's going to have a similar career trajectory, because that didn't really work out as well for Okoye, but yeah.
And
now
it's an interesting name.
I'm worried about this now. Was Christian Okoye the good one or the track athlete? Who was the track guy?
No, he was the track athlete. Amobi Okoye was the good one.
Okay, that's and there was the older Okoye too, right?
I'm not sure.
Well,
I remember that one.
We're gonna be idiots here, but yeah. So right, Amobi Okoye from the Texans.
Youngest player ever to enter the league until the aforementioned Edmonds.
Yeah. Yeah,
at least in the first round.
And of course, I mean, I'm thinking Lawrence Okoye.
Got it. Yeah.
No. Right. I'm 100% right. Christian Okoye is like the old running back.
Mm-hmm.
The Nigerian nightmare.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway. Rugby. This is what happens when you start talking about rugby players, and all that. Yeah. Christian Okoye was the running back. Christian Okoye played for the Chiefs.
Yeah, that sounds right. Nigerian nightmare. That was like old, long. That was like 80s, right? That or was, like early 90s.
Yeah, late 80s to early 90s. Good. I'm glad I'm not crazy. Lawrence Okoye was the British track athlete, the shot putter or whatever that was. And mm-hmm. who signed mm-hmm. with the 49ers, and he was with the Raiders for a while and bounced around to a couple of other teams. I'm good. I'm glad. That would have bothered me for a very long time. Who knows what he is doing right now? He is he's from the UK, 6'6". Yeah. Anyway, apparently he is still a defensive tackle for the 49ers, still on that roster. Although he is listed.
Nice.
No, he's not. That's 100% wrong. Wikipedia calling you out on this. He was with the Montreal Alouettes last year.
Oh. Well, he was a decent player for a while there. I mean, the thing was about him was he was 19, and everyone just assumed he was going to get even better and better out of Louisville, and then he just never did. And I think that's kind of a nervousness around Edmonds in some ways, but he just seems to move so much better that I don't think we're in danger of him turning into like a hand of the ground the end or anything like that.
No, I don't think so either. All right.
So some of the other names that you threw out there the other day, just to quickly talk about day two and three draft crushes. I know you mentioned Jalen Samuels. I know you're a huge fan of his.
Yes. Samuels in the fourth round and the rugby player in the fifth round. That works for me.
There you go.
Just take some gambles.
There you go. I'm going to throw a couple names at you.
I love Laletta so much. You mentioned that. That's got to be talked about. I really think this guy is I really think he ends up as a starting quarterback in the NFL for a decade.
Oh, man. I mean, I really like him, too. Some of it's where he goes, you know. But the way he showed out all Senior Bowl week and then obviously at the Senior Bowl, you get him in an NFL weight room and get him bigger. Like, this guy played at Richmond, and he was still, like, his anticipation and all that, he's going to be – I think he's got a real chance to land somewhere and be a real good – an actual starting quarterback. I don't disagree with you at all.
I'm going to make a crazy prediction for you. Laletta's ceiling is the 34th pick in the draft to the Giants.
Wow, interesting. So, I mean, our draft had six quarterbacks not only taken the first round, but taken in the first, 23 picks?
23 picks, yeah.
So that drives up, if you're saying the next best or the next highest rated is Laletta or Luke Falk or, you know, maybe Mike White. I mean, I think that those guys are all almost guaranteed to go on day two and probably round two, right? Because there are teams that are at the top of the draft that now aren't, you know, drafting quarterbacks in the first round, like the Giants,
yep.
who now are almost certain to take one.
Yeah, and you're in the good position with the Giants where you can let Laletta sit for a year, 2 years, as long as Eli can play, and then he's ready to take mm-hmm. over, and you potentially have the seamless transition afterwards. And you come out of you can come out of the first two rounds out of the top 34 picks in the draft with your future running back and quarterback, and that's a good way to run a franchise.
That is a good way to run a franchise. A better way would be to trade out of that spot and fill in even more holes, but
sure.
Teach his own.
Teach his own. Who are you talking about? You talking about Fountain?
I like Tarese Fountain a lot. I'm just going through the positions real quick. You know, Bellage is my guy at
yeah.
running back. I think Bill Scarborough is another one. You said Chase Edmonds is one I mentioned the other day.
Yep.
I really like. I think that Tarese Fountain's a guy that could be had on day three that could make an impact right away for someone. I like Joseph Notaboom from TCU amongst the offensive linemen.
Terrell Crosby.
Terrell Crosby is your guy. Greg Sinat is another one to bring up. Mason Cole is going to be a guy from Michigan that could start out of day three right away.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Nathan. Sorry, go ahead.
I've heard some talk of Christian from Louisville going considerably higher than people expect him
Jerron Christian. Yeah.
Yep.
I could see that. I mean, there are a couple. Scott Quisenberry is another one, right?
Yeah.
Braden Smith. There's a few that could go. This is actually like a pretty deep draft at interior linemen. And then there's a couple interesting tackles like the ones we just mentioned. But they're generally speaking, this is considered a very strong offensive guard class. So something to keep in mind and interior linemen in general.
Your guy Dante Pettis?
Dante Pettis, I really like him. I don't really understand. I mean, I do understand why he's not going to go higher because he's slight. And he's not going to get a lot bigger, but he can return punts and kicks for you. He can be special teams, and I think he's the ideal number three receiver, not necessarily in the slot, but he can play the slot for sure.
I got one for you.
Does
Shaquem Griffin go in the top 100 picks?
Oh, man. 100 is the right spot. I'm going to say no.
So, like, you think he's a 4 or you think he's a 5?
I think he's a 4.
Because it's fun to talk about these guys, but a team has to pull the trigger on a linebacker with one hand.
Yeah, and, you know, I read some interesting stuff this week. Bob McGinn always does, a scout series.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about Griffin in one way that I thought was really interesting, which was, you know, yeah, you're a hero for a day, essentially, when you draft Shaquem Griffin.
Yep.
And, you know, he'll play special teams for you. But what happens when you have to cut him? Or,
sure.
like, you can't re-sign him. You know, now you're the worst guy in the history of the state, you know. And so I'm not saying that would necessarily be the case, but that's something these guys will consider. And they'll probably, at that point, say it's the fourth round, just say, hey, I'll just take my chances on, you know, a potential project outside to offensive tackle. Let Shaquem Griffin be somebody else's, I don't want to say problem, because I would take him. But I think that it's easy for a GM to explain away the idea or the logic around not taking him.
Well, and that is if things work out. If things don't work out, you're the GM who took the linebacker with one hand.
Yep, for sure. I still think he goes. I think the Seahawks make a ton of sense because they have his brother, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know. So he's the one guy at the draft that's unlikely to go in the first round be in attendance.
For sure.
And that is complicated.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed. But the expectation is, like, he can't expect to go anywhere before the third round, right?
Right. But, you know, he goes away on day two and he's still not taken.
Yeah.
I think that potentially becomes an awkward situation for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about some other guys I really like. And just give me your thoughts on what kind of area they end up in. How about Nyheim Hines?
I totally agree with you. I know we talked about his teammate, mm-hmm. but I think Hines is probably right around that fifth round range. I don't know if you agree or not. I think that his athleticism puts him there, and the fact that he split that load a little bit with Samuels, but he took over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I like Hines. I think fifth round is about right when you think of guys like last year that went around that area, him and then that group. There's a dense group of running backs that are going to be taken right around there when you think of Freeman and Bellage and, you know, and Akram Wadley from Iowa and Scarborough's probably in that.
Well,
right?
And another guy, the next guy I wanted to talk about was Rashad Penny. Where's Rashad Penny going to go? Penny's got to be a three, right, at the lowest.
Yeah, I think Penny is a lock three. And I've read a lot about how teams like him a lot more than, like, the draft Twitter community does. So I could see him going as high as round two. But, you know, I think three is probably the sweet spot for a guy like Rashad Penny.
Another guy I like quite a bit, a receiver, is Michael Gallup.
Interesting. So I was going to ask you about him. I spent a lot of time watching these guys because I think it's a lock the Packers will take one in the second or third round, mm-hmm. and maybe both. And Gallup, to me, I just want to hear your evaluation on him because I was underwhelmed. I just thought he was like a Jag out there, and I've read a lot about how he could be like the sleeper of this class and all that. But when I watched all those other guys, when I watched Pettis and, you know, even Jamon Moore to an extent, DJ Moore, I couldn't help but see, like, I'm not sure what he does really well. So I'd love to hear your sell on Gallup.
Well, I want to know what you don't like about him. I mean, you're talking about a big, strong receiver who creates space exceptionally well, who catches the ball well. Maybe not the most explosive receiver in the class, but this isn't a class full of explosive receivers, which, you know, maybe hurts him a little bit more than it would in another year. But just the production is there. I think the ability is there. I don't know that he's going to be picked before day three, but I think that this is a guy who is potentially a starting receiver in the NFL. Why don't you like him?
I mean, I think he could be a starting receiver too. When I watched Colorado State, I just wasn't that impressed with him. Didn't think there was like that get off. You know, when I look at receivers, and I don't know what you look for, but I look for a couple of things. One of them being obviously the hands. He seemed to have that. I have no problem with that part. Mm-hmm. It's more like the ability to free up and press, because like a lot of times defensive backs will give you all kinds of room. And I think that Gallup was fine in that sense, but guys that can create space on their own with their feet, mm-hmm. I love. And I think that's what I like about Dante Pettis so much. Cause this guy is slight. Like he has no business being a D1 receiver in my opinion. And he's just creating space out of nothing, like with his precision and his route running. And he gave Jake Browning a lot of open looks. And so I really like him for that reason. And I think that Calvin Ridley is that guy. And that's a problem I have with Cortland Sutton too. I don't think that this guy knows how to get open. Like I just don't. And I don't know. I think to your point, I mean, Gallup makes plays, mm-hmm. like his production's undeniable. I want to know how much of that is real. Like I watched him, I think it was Alabama they played, and he just, like, he got eaten up by Anthony Averett, who I think is average at best. And that was disappointing. But obviously, if you're Alabama, you're just keying on Michael Gallup the whole time. So that makes sense. I don't know. I just, like, if I'm going to compare him to those guys seem to be able to free themselves up with their feet, which I appreciate. But I don't know if you see that or not, or if you look for that at all, if that even matters or not.
I'm gonna talk. I don't think it matters as much as you do. I like Gallup. I think he's gonna be productive, but you know, we'll see. Another guy, super talented, but there's a lot of off the field stuff. Is Mike Hughes? Where do you think Mike Hughes winds up?
Yeah, the off the field stuff I think brings him the second round. We didn't have him in our first. I know I've seen the Packers mock to him. They brought him in. I don't buy that. I just don't think that. I think he's good, but he is loose, man, and he is like. I worry about the off-the-field stuff with him. What do you think of him?
I think he's a heck of a football player. I just I don't know if that's the kind of person I want to bring into my locker room.
Yep, agreed. I like Jair Alexander a ton more than him, if you're talking about those two guys as, like, the second-tier receivers.
I happen to like Isaiah Oliver.
Or, I'm sorry, corners. Oh, yeah. Isaiah Oliver is smooth. Yep. He is the definition of smooth at corner, and he is long and big, and he's – you know, it wouldn't shock me if Isaiah Oliver ends up going in the first round. No. Like, I mean, I think that he's basically like you can pick your flavor with Josh Jackson or him because Jackson isn't going to give you the press coverage, but Oliver will. And Jackson's going to get you the picks and Oliver maybe doesn't do it the same way, but he's athletic. And I could absolutely see 5 years from now we come back and say, man, how did Isaiah Oliver go after those four guys?
Right. Yeah, I think Isaiah Oliver's floor is like pick 40. So, but
you think?
Yeah,
think he's a classic early second round.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where he ends up. I think he goes. I think end of the day he goes in that 30 to 40 range. So chances are that's an early second round pick, but would not surprise me at all if why wouldn't the team like the Patriots take a shot on him at 31?
I don't know. I wouldn't even mind the Packers trading down and taking him. I think that he is a safe. He's a rare second round quarter that's got a super high ceiling. Yep. I'm sorry, high floor. And he certainly has a high ceiling too.
Works. I'm happy if Philly's there at 32 and they take him. That I can certainly live with that. I like the fact that Sidney Jones comes in next year, but I don't trust.
Oh my God.
I don't really trust.
Rich get richer.
Yeah, I don't really trust Jalen Mills as much as some other people seem to. So I'm good with that.
I'm going to throw a name at you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you and throw a name at you because I'm eager to talk about him. Is Hercules Mata'afa. I'm obsessed with this guy.
Oh, he's
like obsessed.
Such a weird player.
Such a weird player, and I love it. I love the weirdness, man. He would be so much fun to have on your team.
Yeah. Are you playing him at defensive end or linebacker? Where are you playing him?
Dude, wherever, man. No, I'm probably in a 3-4. I'm probably playing him a little bit off the edge, a little with his hand in the ground as a 5-tech, little inside probably. I mean, I think he's just like a chess piece. I don't know.
Short arms though. Are you at all concerned about short arms as a linebacker?
For sure. And I, you know, this is one of those where like I had to do a double take when I saw his combine testing because. Yeah. I thought his 3-cone was going to like break the combine. Cause like when you watch him in his games, he is insane. Like the way his short area quickness is just out of control for a man of his size. And you know, he's got like the stubby little legs. I just thought he would kill the 3-cone. And then he was awful. Like, I mean, not awful, but just
pretty
bad. Very average.
7.24. Pretty bad.
Yeah. Pretty bad. Yeah. Pretty bad. Pretty bad for a man his size. So, I don't know. That's just sort of my take on him. But I think he is exciting as all hell, and I would absolutely use like a fourth, fifth rounder on him. I don't know if that he'll – I don't know where he'll land because of his testing and the fact that you don't know what he's going to be.
Yeah.
But I really like him.
Do you have any comp for him?
No.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like, I think that's probably part of the issue. Like, I think that – just the size is so, it's just, he's so small. So it's hard to compare. What is he like 5'11" maybe?
I think
maybe not even.
No, he came in at 6'2" at the combine.
Oh, wow. All right. I thought he looks way shorter than that when he lines up.
Well, I think it's the arms.
That's not bad. Yeah. The arms are tiny. I mean, they lined him up as a nose tackle.
Yeah. Played nose tackle. Is there any chance that you can put 35 pounds on this guy over the next 2 years, and he is an Aaron Donald-y. He's an Aaron Donald-y kind of interior tackle.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I would take a chance. I just want him in the building and figure it out. You know, like he has no technique. He just like gets it done. And I don't know. I would do that. I would do exactly what you're saying. I was going to say Mike Daniels. Mike Daniels a little smaller.
Sure.
But there is precedent to guys. I didn't know he was 6'2". I literally thought he was sub 6 foot. So, you know, with the arms, that's a problem. But it could also be not a bad thing. You know, like this is a guy that's just going to squirt through the inside, you know, and so to speak. And so, like, I don't know. I like him. We're talking at this point of fourth, fifth round picks, right? Like, I don't think there's any way he goes day two. And so, like, that's the time when you take chances and you trust your coaches and you just sort of, you know, wing it a little bit. And I think that's exactly where I'd take him.
He feels like what you use a comp pick on. It's a bonus. Let's take a gamble and see what this guy is.
Yeah, totally. Like, you had this bonus shot. Let's just see what it is. That's exactly right. But again, like you said, I have no comp for him.
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy that maybe a third round comp pick. I think teams are going to like this guy a lot more than other people do. Than like the average draft community.
I could see a team like the Browns that has like a million picks. The Packers have 12 picks. I would love for them to do something like this. I think the Browns are in a better position to use one on him and just stash him. But, you know, I don't know. I would take it because
I don't know if they can.
Sometimes you just can't. You just can't. Exactly right.
In a world where you take Bradley Chubb at 4, then you have Garrett, Ogba, Chubb, Nassib, as your top four defensive end. So he's your fifth defensive end. And I mean, they've got other guys they like there already. I don't think he's not a 4-3 linebacker for sure.
No, I think he's a 3-4 outside / 5 tech in an ideal situation.
What a weird fit when you're talking about a 6'2", 250-pound guy as a 5 tech, but you're probably right.
Just, you got to get creative with him. And you really want him. Yeah, I'm saying 5 tech, and I'm saying that loosely. Like, he might be a 3. Like, you might have to just use him in weird spots where you want him shooting gaps. And just, like, he's not going to control a line of scrimmage or anything crazy like that. Like, you just have to know what you've got with him. And, you know, so we're saying he could go in the third. I could also see him being the kind of guy that goes, like, in the 7th.
Sure. Because,
like, he just has no place.
Sure. I could see where teams are scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you?
Exactly.
It's like taking Shaquem Griffin. Like, you're going to take the 6'2", 250-pound defensive tackle.
That's exactly. That's a better. I'm not saying comp, but that's a better idea of, like, the situation that you'd be dealing with. Like, we just have no precedent for this guy, so we have to get creative and trust our coaches and just trust the playmaking, that the instinctiveness is something that carries through to the next level. And I mean, luckily, both those guys have played at the highest level and have gotten it done against the best. So it's not like you're taking a shot on, you know, a guy that played at Wyoming or whatever.
Yeah, and the Patriots take him, and he's a 10-time Pro Bowler and winds up in Canton someday.
Actually, was it him that I've heard comp to Rob Ninkovich? That might be who I heard recently, because Rob Ninkovich was like an undersized player that, like, did everything, and, you know, used inside linebacker, played the line, played outside linebacker for them, and, you know, they've never really stuck to one kind of defense anyway, so that could be the comp, really.
Yeah, it's an interesting player. It's going to be an interesting draft. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, just so excited and almost sad already that it's almost done.
Yeah, there's no better feeling than welcome to the 2018 NFL Draft, and no worse feeling than with the last selection in the 2018 NFL Draft.
That's right. But it's a little sweeter for you this year, obviously, having that awesome 32. That's the best pick to have.
Best pick to have, and I look forward to us picking in the second round.
Hey, if it's the Packers, I'll be more than happy to see that happen.
Well, best wishes to all of you out there listening, except for those who are fans of teams in the NFC East. I hope you have terrible drafts and blow each and every one of your selections. Go 76ers. Meek Mill rang the bell before the game tonight, which started about 19 minutes ago. We're now free Meek Mill.
Blast.
Finally. Wow. And I need the 76ers to wrap things up tonight, because I don't want to fight 76ers game and the NFL draft on Thursday.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
And in a worst case...
I hope that doesn't happen for you.
In a worst case scenario where a game goes 7... I would have a nightmarish Saturday. So let's all, Sixers, wrap it up tonight. Enjoy the NFL draft. This has been The Underdog, episode number 69. I'm Chris Hordell. He's on Shukana. Thanks for listening. Really, enjoy it. This is the best weekend of the year in sports, in my opinion.
Very much so.
We'll see you back here. Well, I'll see you back here next week. Aren't you? Maybe in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening.